Welcome to Senior Insight. I'm your host, Tom Steinbeck, and my guest today is Douglas Keene, who is the PA Medic Program Coordinator for RSVP. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Doug, let's talk about what is PA Medic?
PA Medic is a volunteer Medicare counseling service that is controlled by the state of Pennsylvania through the Department of Aging. It is, we have in Montgomery County about 26 volunteers that help people understand Medicare. It's a free service, and we offer unbiased information, education to beneficiaries.
Okay, then what does RSVP stand for?
RSVP originally stood for the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. We are now called RSVP Volunteers because we have more than just retired seniors as our volunteers.
Okay, and when was it founded?
Founded in 1995.
Okay. Now, Doug, tell me about your professional background prior to becoming a counselor.
Well, my background has nothing to do with Medicare, insurance, or anything. I was a biomedical engineer. I worked in cancer diagnostics until I retired. And then once I retired, I started doing some volunteer work with RSVP, mostly as a math tutor, but as I was approaching Medicare age, I realized I really wanted to know more about Medicare, so I volunteered to be with the PA Medi program. I was trained by the program and started doing counseling, and then at some point, the previous coordinator decided to retire, and I stepped up into the position.
Okay, now what is PA Medic's mission?
Well, PA Medi is actually called PA Pennsylvania Medicare Education and Decision Insight. That's what the Medi stands for, and it's also the first four letters of Medicare.
And, well, let's talk about the basics of the programs that you have. Like, what does it do for our, what can they do for our viewers?
Oh, well, when someone's approaching Medicare age, they face the daunting task of trying to figure out how to enroll and what choices to make. Our purpose is to provide an education to people so that they can make sense of the whole situation. They understand what Medicare is, they understand how much it costs, and we help them understand enough so that they can make a fairly strong decision between whether they're going to go with a Medicare Advantage plan or Original Medicare. We also help them with their prescription drug plans as well.
Okay, now how many locations do you have?
We have 14 locations in Montgomery County, and we're opening two more over the next few weeks.
Okay. Let's talk about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Let's talk about Medicare.
Well, Medicare is for people who are over 65 and also people who have disabilities or some conditions that are qualify for Medicare, like blindness. For the most part, So Medicare provides hospitalization and medical insurance, but Medicaid is different. Medicaid is for people of limited means, but Medicaid can also be for people who are not 65.
Okay. But now, in providing the health care for folks who are over 65, is there an advantage to being signed up for Medicare?
Absolutely. I mean, no one should be without medical insurance. And you can't get Affordable Care Act medical insurance once you're over 65. So you're either going to have employer-provided insurance or you're really going to have Medicare.
Okay. Now, you mentioned disability. Do you have to be the age of 65 and be disabled to receive Medicare or Medicaid?
No, you can be disabled and be less than 65. So
okay.
Someone who becomes disabled, usually, if they're disabled, they go on Social Security disability, they'll usually get Medicaid for 2 years. But after 2 years, they'll be migrated over to Medicare.
Okay. But how, information that you're just speaking about, I know that someone can come to your office and talk to some of your counselors. Is that an all-day process, or is that something that they can come in a couple of hours and they can have as much information they need?
Usually we can give someone enough information within an hour that they come out with a much better understanding of Medicare. And we can do this over the phone too. We don't have to do it just in one of our locations. And we'll spend an hour or more on the phone with someone just explaining what their options are.
And isn't it an advantage to have someone whose disability to have someone with them so that they can listen to what's being told in case they become a little more disabled and they're not able to function?
We would welcome having a second person there to sort of listen in as well.
Okay. But it's so complicated with Medicare and Medicaid. And it's hard for people to truly understand it and grasp it.
Well, there's a wealth of information out there, but the problem is just sifting through all of it to really understand it. That's why we were willing to spend the time with people to explain what the different parts are, what they mean, what the costs are, and how to enroll.
Okay. Now, how are your counselors trained?
Counselors are trained by the state. We have a very intense online training program where they have to complete 14 training modules online. It takes about 30 hours to complete that, and each module has a test associated with it, and they have to score at least an 80% on that. Once they finish that, there's an additional four half-day sessions with a regional coordinator, generally online as well, where they get the more in-depth training. Lastly, a new counselor will join some of our old counselors and do a site observation for a while, and they get some hands-on training as well.
Now, what kind of background training do your counselors have?
My counselors come from all walks of life. They're mostly retired, but we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have teachers, we have nurses. Plus, we also just have people that had regular jobs, and as long as they get through the training and they're personable and they're well-spoken, we're more than happy to have them.
Okay. And in doing that, once they've completed their training, then you assign them to one of the locations that you have.
Generally, we'll assign them with another counselor to a location, an experienced counselor with a new counselor. And that way, the new counselor learns how to do the counseling sessions.
Okay. Now, in doing that, how many counselors are in each location?
One or two. It just depends on the location itself.
Okay. And what are the office hours?
Generally, they're either a morning or an afternoon, and it's either once a week or every other week. We have a couple of counselors who handle more than one site, so they alternate weeks in those locations.
Okay, and this is 5 days a week? Or?
Well, it's not necessarily 5 days a week. It's usually for each counselor once per week. And so in some of the libraries or the senior centers, they know that we're going to be there at a particular time and particular day, and they'll set up appointments for us.
And do the counselors have a good follow-up program to previous clients that they've talked to or consulted with?
Generally, once we're complete with a client, we don't maintain contact. This is not a sales relationship where you keep up with people. We'll generally get them to the point where we've reached a conclusion and they've either enrolled in something or they've decided they want to go a different direction.
Now, if a client is having a problem, can they contact that particular counselor?
Yes, if there's a particular problem ongoing, the counselors do have enough phone numbers that the person can use to reach out to them.
Okay. Well, Doug, I think that's some good information for our viewers to understand and to listen a little more attentively as to what we're going to discuss today. Doug, in our first segment, we talked about Medicare. And I'd like to talk about, let's go into depth into Medicare. Let's talk about Part A.
Okay, so Part A is hospitalization coverage. That's your insurance that covers your hospital stay, assuming that you have been, in fact, admitted to the hospital. Now, Part A, for most people, is free. It's as long as you or your spouse have 10 years of payment into the Medicare program through the Medicare taxes, that costs you nothing out of pocket. However, if you're admitted to the hospital, there is an immediate $1,600 deductible due on the very first day. After that, there are no additional charges for the 60-day period.
Okay. Doug, before we go any further, let's get something. I want folks to understand that when you sign up for Social Security, Are you signing up for Medicare, Medicaid?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If you sign up for Social Security before you turn 65, then you will automatically be signed up for Medicare.
Okay.
If you're if you don't sign up for Social Security before you turn 65, say your full retirement age is 67 and you don't intend to apply for Social Security, then you will have to enroll directly in Medicare, unless you have employer-provided insurance, either you or your spouse.
Okay.
If you have employer-provided insurance, there is no requirement for you to sign up for Medicare, and there will be no penalties as long as you file the correct paperwork when you enroll.
Now, we talked about Medicare, Part A, and hospitalization. What if I have to go by ambulance to the emergency room? Is that covered under Medicare?
Medicare covers ambulance services as long as it's involved basic life support. It has to be something that is really a threat to your health. If you can just find another way to get there, say you cut your finger or something like that, you don't use an ambulance for that.
Right.
But if you're having a heart attack, if you're having a stroke, something like that, it'll be covered by Medicare.
Okay. Let's talk about Part B.
So Part B is the medical part of your insurance. That covers the doctor bills, it covers labs, it covers durable medical equipment, and it also covers some medications that are that are administered by a doctor in an office or an infusion clinic.
Okay.
So Part B is not free. Part B costs this year, in 2024, $174.70 per month. In addition, there's a Part B deductible of $240 for the year.
Okay. But now, in Part B, what if I'm in the emergency room and they're providing different prescription drugs for me or whatever? Would that be covered under Part B or would that be under Part A because I'm in a hospital?
That's probably Part B.
That's probably Part B.
Yeah. Part A just pays for the room. And it doesn't even pay for the doctors in the hospital. Part B covers that as well.
Okay. Because I think that's some of the things that people need to understand, because it becomes confusing between Part A and Part B. Because you say hospital, and my thought process is, oh, nurses, doctors, labs, technicians, and everything like that. So I think it's important that we make that clear to our viewers that that is not included under Part A, but under Part B.
That's true. That's true. That's why Part B exists, for those additional charges.
Now, the Part D part of it, the prescription plan. Explain the prescription plan, because I have some questions to ask you about the prescription plan.
Absolutely. Well, about 2006, the prescription plans were started. Prior to 2006, seniors paid for their own drugs out of pocket. But now that we have prescription drug plans, it is a requirement that if you have Medicare Part B, that you must also have prescription coverage. Now, the plans are not actually Medicare. They're provided by insurance companies, but they're companies that are controlled by Medicare. And they offer differing degrees of coverage for different drugs. They all have tiers, and they all have their own formularies.
Okay. You touched on what I was going to talk to you about,
okay,
was the tier process in the prescription drugs. Can you talk a little bit about tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and I think it's tier 4?
And tier 5.
And tier 5.
Yeah, okay. There are five tiers to drugs in most of the companies. Tiers 1 and 2 are generic drugs. Tier 1 are the least expensive drugs that are generic. Tier 2 are also generics, but tend to be a little bit more expensive. Most plans cover tier 1 and 2 very, very well. Tier 3, those are the name brand drugs. Those are the ones you see advertised on television, as are tier 4. Tier 3 are the moderately priced name brand drugs. Tier 4 are the more expensive name brand drugs. Tier 5 is called the specialty tier, and that's for drugs that are fairly rare, but can be extremely expensive, so there's a special tier for them.
Okay. The expensive drugs, doesn't Social Security offer like a help plan to help people pay for the more expensive prescription drugs?
Well, it's Medicare. These are called the Medicare savings plans.
Okay.
And for people, depending upon what your income is, they have varying degrees of support that can either help you pay for your drugs or actually help pay your Medicare premium, your $174.70.
Okay.
In addition, the state of Pennsylvania has the PACE program and the PACE-Net program, which allow people of slightly higher income to still get support on their drugs.
Okay. Now let's talk about Part C.
So Part C generally is referred to as the Medicare Advantage plans.
Okay.
Now those are private insurers that take over for Medicare. Medicare pays the private insurer to meet all of the medical needs of the person. And the Advantage plans, usually they cover the hospitalization and you don't have that $1,600 deductible, but you may have their own deductible that goes with it.
Okay.
They also cover all your medical, your doctors, your durable medical equipment, everything, and they include drug plans. And they also include some additional benefits like hearing, dental, vision, and fitness benefits.
Okay. We talked earlier about the supplemental drug plan, where you can talk to an agent to possibly look at different drug plans. Is that something that is very helpful to people who are receiving Medicare and Medicaid to help?
We're talking about supplemental Medicare insurance,
yes.
which is also known as a Medigap policy.
Okay.
It's not for drugs. It's actually to cover the parts of medical expenses that Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay.
For example, Medicare Part B covers 80% of your doctor bill, but you're still responsible for 20%. The Medigap policy covers that last 20%.
Okay.
It also covers that $1,600 deductible you have at the hospital.
Okay.
However, the Medigap policies have a monthly premium of their own that ranges somewhere between $150 and $500 a month, depending upon your medical condition, age, and that's about it.
But what about the expenses that the GAP program doesn't pay for? That becomes a copay to the patient?
The GAP programs generally cover everything. There are some plans, for example, Plan G is fully comprehensive and covers everything. Plan N, which is a different level of coverage from the supplement plan, covers everything, but generally has a $20 copay when you go to the doctor.
We were talking about Part A and Part B cost. Let's talk a little bit more about that and the cost of it.
Okay.
And what cost should they anticipate having? Or what causes are there?
Well, as long as someone has the required 10 years of payment into Medicare,
okay,
or their spouse has that, Part A is generally free unless you're particularly high income, in which case there'll be additional payments. But for almost all people, Part A is free.
Okay, and that key is those 10 years.
Yes,
that
key
is
10
years.
That is
the key to the 10 years. If you can you explain to me Part B? When you're first eligible, the monthly premium may go up for 10%?
Oh, the way Part B works is that once your employer provided insurance ends, you are required to get your Part B. If you don't, if for some reason you miss your special enrollment period, or if you decide to go without insurance, because some people do that, when you finally decide to get your Part B, there will be a penalty of 10% of the monthly premium for each year that you are late.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues for the rest of your life. For example, if this year the Part B premium is $174.70, but if you didn't sign up for an additional year, you would owe 10% of that of the next year's amount on top of the premium. So suppose next year it goes to $185, you would owe $1,850 on top of the $185 for your total Part B premium.
And the deductible, let's talk about that deductible one more time as far as the hospital stay is concerned.
Okay. In Part A, a hospitalization deductible is about $1,600 per 60-day period. So if you're in the hospital and you if you go in the hospital, you have to pay that $1,600 deductible. If you're admitted later in the year, say 6 months later, there will be another $1,600 deductible.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about that 10% that has to be paid, the eligibility. That's over a period of 12 months that has to be paid?
No, that's every month.
That's every month.
But every month at 10%.
For 12 months?
For each 12 months that you're late. Yes.
Okay. And that's what I wanted to understand. And if the consumer, when should a consumer, again, sign up and make sure they understand that they are covered under Medicare Part A and B?
So for someone who's just turning 65, I would suggest they start looking at this at least 3 months before the month of their 65th birthday. So even say their birthday is June 15th, Medicare would be starting June 1st. I would say start 3 months before that to start gathering information. Mm-hmm. Best thing to do is talk to us or to an insurance agent to learn more about Medicare.
And they need to understand that when they sign up for Social Security, Medicare is something separate.
They're two separate entities, even though you both sign up for both of them through the Social Security Administration. Now, if you take your Social Security before you turn 65, you will automatically be signed up for Medicare. However, if you've chosen to hold off on your Social Security until after you turn 65, say you wait until your full retirement age is 67, you will have to manually enroll in Medicare at 65, mm-hmm. unless you're still working or your spouse is still working and you have employer-provided benefits.
When the employee's coverage ends with their employer, there's a special enrollment period for Part A and Part B without penalty. When does that special enrollment begin?
Well, it starts 30 days before your separation date and extends for 60 days beyond it. But I would suggest once you know your retirement date, even if it's before 30 days, get started on the paperwork for the enrollment, especially since it involves getting additional forms filled out by your employer, and that can take a little while.
And is this something that the spouse needs to understand what's going on, just in case their spouse may have a problem or could get sick or whatever, they could still be involved in the process and maybe sign up their husband or their wife?
Well, there's two aspects of that. If you're asking about whether or not a second person should be involved in the enrollment process for the employee, the answer is yes, because that way they both understand what's going on. But I also wanted to point out that if someone is retiring and their spouse is not yet 65, Medicare is not a family program. It's strictly individual. Mm-hmm. So someone who's retiring, say, at 65 and is going on Medicare and is separating from their employer, if their spouse is younger than that, they won't be able to get Medicare until they turn 65 unless they're disabled. So they would be going to Penny, to the affordable care market, to purchase their own separate insurance policy.
Okay. Now, Doug, there's a book that comes out every year explaining Medicare and Medicaid. Tell our audience what the importance of understanding and reading that book.
Can I show you the book?
Yes.
Okay, this is the book right here. And this is a complete tome about everything you need to know about Medicare. It also includes lists of all of the drug plans that are available and the Medicare Advantage plans that are available for Pennsylvania. But this is a lot to read. And a lot of people come to us and say, I just don't understand what's going on here. So we're more than happy to meet with them and to explain everything they need to know about the sign-up process. So we highly encourage people, even if they've read this, to give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to talk to them over the phone or meet with them in person and explain everything that they need to know.
But what should be the important parts they should read initially and then call you to help walk them through that process?
Well, it's best if they understand what Part A, Part B, Part C, and Part D are, just as a primer. And then we're happy to explain it to them, but if they come to us where they already understand that, we have a much better experience explaining things.
Okay. And there's a portion in that booklet in reference to the different Medicare plans, drug plans. Is that something that your counselors will go over with them also and explain to them those different plans also?
We explain it to them, and we also will go onto the Medicare.gov website, input their information about their drugs, and give them a list of plans that cover their drugs and how much they cost.
Okay. And there's a formulator manual that comes out also that you can get, which will break down the drugs as far as the different tiers are concerned. I know we talked about that earlier, but I feel it's very important that people understand they're almost, I think you said, from one to seven tiers?
See, there are five tiers. But the best way to look at that is through the Medicare.gov website. And the reason is because formulary lists are almost impossible to get through. They're very, very technical. But the Medicare.gov website will tell you if you have a drug that's out of off formulary, it'll show you show it to you right there.
Mm-hmm. And Doug, what are some of the PA Medic future plans and goals?
We are going out to all of the health fairs, all of the community days, and all of the libraries and senior centers to meet with people. And we're giving lectures this time of year about what the new changes are for 2025. And we're going to continue to try to expand our program and expand the number of counselors that we have.
And Doug, how can people contact your organization?
Best way is to call us. We're at 610-834-1040, extension 120. And a beneficiary can call that number, leave their name and their phone number, and one of our counselors will call them back generally the same day.
Well, Doug, thank you for being our guest today. And it has been a pleasure talking to you. This is Senior Insight. I'm Tom Stanback. Thank you for watching.